campaigns here in the UK, especially around the coast, that will be involved in the Marine Bill that's currently under parliamentary review. So we're looking very much to do activities and get people motivated here in the UK. So that's what we're about.
And you're going to put on a workshop basically now.
Basically, we're late for it so that we can speak to you. In the animal rights tent, yeah. And there'll be our history of Sea Shepherd will be shown throughout the week. People can look out for that in the film tent.
Cool. And what sort of things will you be doing in the workshop today?
Well, we'll be talking about Sea Shepherd's work. We'll be talking about the forthcoming Antarctica campaign. We'll be talking about the things we do in the UK and hopefully answering lots of questions.
Great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us here.
Good luck for your workshop and all your future actions.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so just a quick few jobs from the job shop. People need it for washing up and cooking. Anyone with a license or with a car, or if you can drive a minibus, or if you can just drive, need people to pick up things in the shops, and if you... people from the cop shops. Yeah, special shops. If you have any of those talents, can you go to the site office and register? Non-physical work, if you want to man the power tent, basically sitting there looking at power. If you want to get a bit more physical, you can sort out the neighborhood rubbish so it's not central. And then there's people need to bring back wheelbarrows and tools, and people need to pick up muesli now from the roundabout. There's just 40 sacks of muesli getting wet on the roundabout right now. So, yeah.
There goes our breakfast.
Yeah, that's your breakfast tomorrow, so it's in your own interest, really. So now, what are we going to do?
Yeah,
we're gonna do the little update from the gates. What's been happening since kind of yesterday lunchtime?
I mean, there was quite a bit of ruckus up at the top gate yesterday afternoon. Quite a lot of people had to come down to sort of stop the riot cops from coming onto site. But as things stand at the moment, I mean, I don't know how things were overnight, but as things are at the moment, it's pretty chilled here, actually. I don't think the cops are really wanting to move away. I think they kind of would see that as some kind of compromise. So there's a few probably like fairly low down the rank cops standing on the line looking pretty bored, and sort of people just having a bit of fun, really.
Yesterday afternoon there seemed to be a real test of strength where they tried it. They had riot cops on three fronts but then backed off. Like, they wanted to come in to get the vehicles in, and then they thought about trying to go over the fences and then just left it for some reason. But it seemed like they kind of tested strength a bit, like.
And what do you reckon the point is at this point?
I think no one's really wanting to back down too much. I quite like the fact that there's still lots of people here, like, unwilling to compromise. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, you know, if the cops really wanted to come in, they would. But let's not make their life too easy. They could, you know, draft in lots of people, but that would actually be a bit of a logistical operation. I think we should resist them to the hilt and do everything we can. Obviously, we need to get on with the camp as well, and you know, people want to go to workshops and do everything else that the camp is all about. But I think there's still a very strong feeling of resistance, although things are pretty chilled out at the moment.
Okay. And you still need people?
Yes, just to relieve and just rotate so that other people can go and do workshops, and just like we can all share the job of sitting, and it's quite nice. You sit, chat, listen to a bit of music. So, and at the moment, there's still the chance to enjoy the only police-free site in Kent.
All right, thanks very much.
Rather than what it's been like down at Gate 4, down in the bottom corner of the field, where there's a nice little bridle path, it seems, that goes out to the road. It goes past a big entrance to the MOD depot that looks as if it's been there since the war. It's obviously a disused entrance, but I notice that you can now open the gates, and there's been a van parked inside there all morning that's just been driven away. But I asked the chap who's driving it whether it was an MOD van or a police van, and he said it's ours, not theirs. There's a police minivan parked at the end of the lane, which has had various policemen. I went and asked them for a cup of tea, and they said that they could do with one too, and they didn't have any on the van. They've been reasonably friendly, well, perfectly friendly, in fact, but not, you know, that you just could feel that they're being friendly because they've been told to, whereas the Kent police who've been round for a chat, who were extremely nice and said that they were enjoying getting to know people and that they seemed to be broadly supportive of what's going on here, except, like all the rest of the police, they're a bit anxious about the potential for illegal acts. But absolutely not at all pleased about the heavy-handed policing that went on yesterday. Anyway, it's begun to rain, and we're really sorry that it's not warming like it used to be. And we're now going to go back and warm up.
So it's all calm down here, anyway?
It's all very calm, yeah.
So here at the front gate,
Grover says, can you get down here and help us with the gate, because the police are being really rowdy and looking over the top of the gate. I can't secure the gate because I have no things to secure it with. And actually, listen to them, listen. Can you hear them? Can you hear them? Listen, they're loud and they've got an attitude problem. Oh, good. just ha ha ha's. No real statements here.
Oh, we'll give it a couple of calls for you.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear that? Is that Metropolitan Police? That's not Metropolitan Police, is it? Yeah. What sort of accent was that? Well, yeah. So as you can see, we're under threat at the gate with the Metropolitan Police. And that bloke must be from Yorkshire. Where are you from, that bloke with a funny accent that says he's Metropolitan?
It's from Scotland.
I can't believe he's Scottish. I can't believe that. I didn't understand he was Scottish. but that's Metropolitan Police for you.
So yeah, that's what's happening at the gates. It's all pretty calm, pretty jovial, mostly. Yeah, but help out if you can. Data Man, if you're out there, start making better music, dude. Right. So now we have someone from the legal tent in to share a few of her pearls of wisdom. So how's it all going down the legal tent?
No pearls, I'm afraid.
No pearls.
Just an update on what's happening. So far over the camp, we've had about 16 arrests. At the moment, we've got about eight people in custody. About seven of those are in Chatham Magistrates Court this morning. They were held overnight, and we're waiting to hear the outcome. Most of those have been charged with obstruction, and they're arrests that relate to activities at the back gate at K5 first thing yesterday morning. There are also two people at Chatham who are involved with the Drax breaking their bail conditions as well. So we're waiting on that. And hopefully lots of them will be out, and hopefully they'll be back on the camp. We'll see. About the Drax people, I don't know a lot, except I know that some of them managed to come onto the camp. I'm not sure of the number, but two of them were detained by the police and, as I've mentioned, went to Chatham Magistrates Court. So we're waiting to hear what happens with them.
Any idea why some got on and some didn't get on?
I've no idea. But then the police have been very, very erratic. Every time there's a shift change, there's a change in search policy every half an hour. So it's very hard for us to keep up with what's going on in their minds. People have noticed that some things are getting taken, other things are not. Searches are happening here, then they're not. I don't think they know what they're doing. And, of course, it's different police forces, and a lot of bickering between them, as far as I can make out.
Which is nice.
Which is good for us. If they're in chaos, then, you know, we have the upper hand, as we saw yesterday morning at K5 and in the afternoon at K5. Okay, I want to give a bit of a plug for legal observer training, or anyone who's done any legal observing before. We need legal observers. We've got a very sparse timetable, and we're having to spread ourselves very thin, and people are getting quite tired. So if you've done some legal observing before, or you fancy getting trained up and then going out doing observing, that will be fantastic. And, of course, we're going to have to have a lot of legal observers for the day of action on Saturday. So if you can't make it before then, make sure you get down here before Saturday and get a training. They're happening every afternoon at 4:30. Most of them in the arts space. But if you come into the legal tent, we've got it written up on the wall when the different workshops are. So there's a legal observer training every day. There's also a Know Your Rights workshop every day. Some of them are at 4:30 for the next couple of days, but then they change time. So please come to the legal tent to find out about those. And those Know Your Rights workshops are geared up to people who are thinking about going on the action. They're about things you might get arrested for, and about what happens at the police station and what the implications of getting a conviction are. So that's about rights and if you're doing the action.
For the legal observer thing, how long does it take to kind of train up to be legal observer? Is it just one workshop that you have to go to, or is it kind of a series of them?
It's only one workshop, and the best training is on the ground, going out with experienced legal observers, seeing how they do it, and seeing what it's like to interact with the police, and testing it out yourself, what works best, whether being in their face works best, or stepping back a bit, or being jokey. You'll find your own technique for doing it, but it's really important that people are there, because there are a lot of people coming to the camp, particularly towards the weekend, who are not familiar with the search process and they don't know their rights. So it's really important that we get out there and let them know what those are.
And do you have plenty of luminous bibs to provide people with?
We've got lots of bibs, but we can have a bib amnesty. If anyone's got a bib lying around in their neighbourhood, bring it back to legal. We're also an amnesty on bus cards as well. We don't know what's happened, who's been eating the bus cards, but 3,000 bus cards have already gone out. So we're madly trying to get more printed. So if you've got a bundle of bus cards in your neighbourhood and they're falling into the mud, bring them back to the legal tent if you can. Thanks.
I know. So that's that. Well, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Right. That's the legal update. Okay. Thank you very much for that. And,
all right. Okay. So we're going to introduce you to Chit Chong. He's works for the Green Party. Remind me of the job.
I don't work. I'm a volunteer. I'm speaker for Future Generations for the Green Party. Green Party is one of very few organizations that's seriously looking at the impact on the future of climate change and our damage to the environment. What I wanted to talk to you about was the subject of a recent workshop I did called The Future Bites Back. And really, it's about looking at people in the future, not as abstract people who would receive our generosity in protecting the planet, but as people with their own rights. You've got to imagine somebody a couple of generations down the line who are just like us, sitting next to us, who have the same rights and who will also sit in judgment on what we do today. So it's another idea which you can use in your repertoire of arguments about climate change, that we have to picture people as humans who will be affected by us. So there are lots of other ideas that spin off from this, the idea of intergenerational rights, where people have rights, and intergenerational justice, where we as a generation have a duty to try to bring to justice our climate criminals, much in the same way as the war crimes trials did. And also with that is the idea of intergenerational restitution, where we have to give restitution and move from the idea of sustainable development, zero carbon developments, to the idea of negative carbon, restorative development, to restore the planet as it was so that our children and our children's children can have a planet that they can be proud of. Thank you.
All right, now we're going to go into a music track.
back from another wonderful track.
Yeah. Apologies again for the music. It wasn't as bad as DJ. What was him? What's his name?
Data Man.
Right. Anyway, a few announcements. If you want to, and you're able to, record an interview with your phone, what you can do is you can ring 02 07 04 33 783. You'll go into a kind of a phone menu. You want to select option number 6, and that will basically bring you somewhere where you can leave a message. And if you just pass your phone in between two people, then you will you'll be able to record an interview. Just don't forget to say the date. And yeah, so Layla's going to give us a rundown, highlights package.
Yeah, there's tons and tons of workshops are going on here at the camp. And obviously, we've missed a couple of them this morning because right now it's almost, 1:30? But a couple of them that are coming up in the afternoon, definitely one I'll be going to is a Women in Direct Action workshop. And that's going to be with Kat Forrester in the Science, Technology, Energy, and Policy tent. That's tent B. And hopefully we can get her on later tonight to talk to us about women and activism, and hopefully go over some gender and sexuality things in relation to direct action and climate change and stuff like that. Christina and Bear hold probably the most interesting workshop on a daily basis, the World Lawn Tango Championships. We really wanted to have them on this morning, but they are not on site, and so hopefully we can get them on this evening or tomorrow morning to talk about how they came up with that workshop.
We're also going to get a radio demonstration of lawn tango.
Yes, definitely. Because
world first.
And Ian Fillingham is going to be doing a workshop on Reclaim the Streets on the Dockers, Reflections and Lessons. And that's going to be in Tent G, the international tent. Right now, it looks like the vegan bakery is up and running, and that is a hugely popular thing. There's a really long line there, and definitely head over at some point and check them out because it smells wonderful in there, and I'm sure there's lots of tasty things. And they're going to be regularly putting on workshops about vegan cake baking and baking other stuff. And this morning, Activist Trauma Support had an Activist Trauma and Recovery workshop, so we missed that. But you can go over and talk to them at any point, and we'll probably be having them on later in the week to talk about what they do and some nifty tricks like how to get pepper spray out of your eyes with things that you can buy over the counter at your local pharmacy. And yeah, so we're kind of waiting at the moment for people to show up. We had two really interesting people coming in to talk to us, but it's just really difficult kind of coordinating these live interviews when there's so much going on at the camp, and you know, you don't really know what's going to happen from minute to minute. And we were hoping to get Mel on, one of the bail breakers, again.
We'll have her on the show later on.
Yeah.
And we're also going to have someone who was involved in the Diaz school raid, not a cop. We're going to have sort of someone on that. He's going to talk to us a little bit about what happened with the recent kind of trials of police officers, which he sounds pretty happy about. So, yeah.
Yeah. But it's not a sunny day today. It's raining again, and we're having energy issues as well. And fortunately, we have this priority with the energy output, and so we get to broadcast between 1 and 2:30 today. And then we are cut off because there ain't no sun and there's no power.
There's some wind, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, instead of talking aimlessly, I think we're just going to finish up. Sorry that the show has been a bit short.